fried up, ladies and gentlemen. What we have here is a special edition of Fish Fry. Oh, yeah. Hey there, everybody. Welcome to Makers Today, a special series here on Fish Fry, where we highlight the movers and shakers in the maker space. My guest today is Karen Corbeil, who is a maker, teacher, creator of content for Element 14's Learning Circuit, power racing record holder, and so much more. I am absolutely thrilled that she is joining us today to celebrate Women in Engineering Day. So without further ado, please welcome Karen to Fish Fry. Hi, Karen. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. So we're talking about your role at Element 14 first, and you create videos for Element 14's Learning Circuit. So first, when and why did you join Element 14? And what is the general learning circuit audience? Why do you think they're so popular these days?
I joined Element 14 in October of 2015. They brought me onto the Ben Heck Show. There was a woman named Allison that was the local producer. She did all the camera work and on camera sometimes. And she left and they decided that they wanted to bring someone on to do social media. They also felt it was important to have a female face on the show. And since Allison was gone, they wanted another one. Also, my maker skills kind of helped, I think, in getting me hired. I couldn't help Ben so much with the electronic stuff, but he kind of had that stuff handled. So I was able to help like step in a lot of times and kind of like make recommendations for the builds of like how to construct things and put things together, because I make a lot of different things in a lot of different ways.
So what is the general learning circuit audience, and talk about their popularity a bit?
I am honestly not sure, because I interact with my audience on the Element 14 community, which is awesome. I love it there. It's great because I can kind of have like really good personal interactions. I can post photos and like schematics and stuff. So it's really great. It seems like primarily there's a lot of seasoned and experienced electronics users. I really wish that there were more hobbyists in there. There are some, but there doesn't seem to be as many, or at least they don't speak up. They're not as vocal. So that's who I'm targeting. That's who I am trying to cater to, is people that did not get an electrical engineering degree and did not learn all of those super technical terms.
So Karen, what's your favorite part about creating these videos? And is there a specific topic you like the most?
So it's funny. My degree is actually in technical theater. I was a stage manager and I built stuff backstage because I historically have had horrible stage fright. Despite the fact that I've been making videos going on YouTube for 5 years, I do not like being on camera. It makes me really anxious. So, I mean, I make my videos because it's really important to me, again, that there's like a female face out there. There are not enough women in electrical engineering and in a lot of the STEM fields. And so I have this wonderful skill that I have been able to take advantage of, where I can learn things very quickly and translate it into terms that, you know, like a normal person can understand. You don't have to have an advanced degree to understand what I'm talking about. It was just really important to me to take advantage of that and make these videos so that anybody off the street can just watch it and be like, oh, okay, I kind of understand what she's talking about it, because she's using relatable terms. And I try to have really good visuals. It's really important to me that the content be approachable. The majority of the maker skills that I have are self-taught. And I struggled with electronics for years, and it was so frustrating to me. So with the learning circuit, I teach myself literally everything before I go and write these scripts. I do pretty much all of the work. I pick the subject. I do all the research. I write the script. I design a lot, like the majority of the graphics. My wonderful editor, Max, animates them for me because my computer is too slow. And I do the majority of the video editing as well. Part of the reason I did the learning circuit is we needed a new show because Ben Heck decided to retire from doing videos with Element 14. And so we needed some ideas. And they're like, well, it's got to be an electronics show because it's an electronics company. I'm like, well, I don't know anything about electronics, but I'm really good at teaching myself. So what if we made a show where I teach myself? And then that way, all of those like eureka moments of, oh, I finally understand how this works will be so fresh. It'll be great to be able to immediately turn around and put that into a video. And so that's like how the learning circuit came to be.
Is there a specific topic that you enjoy the most?
I love STEM. And so for me, I love when science and physics comes into play. So whenever I can really break down how it's working in terms of that, you know, I've had some episodes that involve magnets, like the electromagnetism episodes, the ones that involve the components and all that, that involve electromagnetism are always really fun to do because I get to get into the science portion of it. Very, very early on, obviously, when I finally figured out like why electricity works, I had one of those eureka moments where I finally was like, oh, it's because of the polarization of atoms that electrons are like drawn and then passed along. And that's why there's electron. That's why I call it electron flow. And it like finally clicked to me. I have a very mechanical mind. I realized if I can't visualize something, it's really hard for me to understand. So when I was finally able to like get that visualization of the protons and electrons interacting with the different, like from atom to atom and like how that all worked. And because you've got the positive and negative poles of the power source pulling and pushing those electrons, I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So like for me, understanding the why and how of how things work is so important to like truly understanding it. I feel like a lot of the content that's out there with electronics is just here, plug these things together and hopefully it works. But they don't really explain the why or how, like how those things work. And I need that. Like I need that understanding. Like I crave it. So I assumed that I was probably not the only one out there that had this problem and this desire. I really tried to put that into my show.
Excellent. Now, you also helped put together an adult maker group called the Mad City Makers and the Baudry, a maker hackerspace. So can you tell me the story behind the creation of this maker group and what this maker space is all about?
Yeah. So I moved to Madison, Wisconsin about 8 years ago, and there is a hackerspace here. And I was good friends with a lot of the people that ran it, but I spent 3 months there and just like never really felt at home. It was much more techie and focused on entrepreneurs and professionals. I was very much a hobbyist maker and craved that community of people that just wanted to get together and make things and try stuff out and break stuff and take things apart. And there was some of that there, but it wasn't what I was looking for. And so I was introduced to my co-founder, John Eich, and he kind of had some of the same problems. And so we had no money. And so we started meeting in public libraries and trying to find our people. And about a year later, we got really lucky and opened our first space with 4 members, each paying $50 a month. And then a year after that, we had enough people to expand and we moved and tripled our space. And a couple years after that, we had enough people and wanted more space. And so we moved again. So we are currently in our third space, actively working on expanding into the next space next door, which is, I think, going to nearly double the amount of space we have. And despite quarantine, and we were closed for a few months at the beginning of when COVID hit, but we were able to open to just members a few months after that. And we did lose quite a few members, but we gained them back very quickly. And I think we have like over 400 members now. Like, it's kind of insane how successful we are. I really wish we had more internal community. That's something that I'm going to try to work on when we can open back up and kind of have more events where members can kind of like mingle and work together. But that's in the future.
So, Karen, I was also absolutely intrigued by your participation in the Power Racing series, which is, for my audience who does not know, an international electric car racing league for adults. And you hold the record for the most wins as a single driver. So tell my audience more about this experience.
Oh, man. It cracks me up so much that you found this and that you know that. Like that's very much like a within this series knowledge, and like only people that have been around for 10 years know that. So it's, I am impressed that you found that knowledge. I was trying to find the names of and previous winners of other years, and I was looking around and I'm like, wait a minute. I have a one of the like 10-year anniversary medals that has all of the winners on it. It was hanging on my bedpost. So I was trying to think of like, how many medals do I think I have around like 15 medals that I won. So yes, the Power Racing series was founded by Jim Burke and Patrick Callahan out of Pumping Station 1 in Chicago, technically in 2009. In 2010, I had an internship in Chicago and had just discovered my first hackerspace, i3 Detroit. They were like my first love. Like I walked into i3 and I was home. You know, I like found my family. But I had this internship in Chicago that summer. And so I wandered into the other hackerspace thinking, oh, I'll find my people. And I met Jim and we were hanging out one day and he's like, hey, are you any good at organizing things? And I just like laugh and I go, yes. Why? Actually, I think I said yes, and that's an understatement. Why? And then I spent that entire summer helping him organize the first official Power Racing series at Maker Faire Detroit in 2010. And it was a hot mess, but hilariously fun. And then the next 3 years, I built cars and raced and won a lot. And then I retired because I won a lot. But also, I retired because I was starting to work on founding the Baudry. And so I just, you can't be an awesome, successful racer and also like create this giant thing from the ground up at the same time. And, you know, have jobs and other hobbies and things. So Power Wheels is amazing. A lot of our winners and like prominent drivers have been women. And Jim, one of the founders, does commentary during all of the races. And he's always been really great about kind of helping push all of our women onto pedestals because they're all amazing. I have met so many incredible people through this thing. It really is my favorite thing in the world. It's such an amazing community because people are hacking these little children's ride-on toys and then racing them around. I mean, during the races, they only get up to about 15 miles an hour just because like the turns are so sharp and like there are not long straightaways, but people have built these things to go like 40 miles an hour. And like, you are sitting atop this plastic thing that you have probably welded a metal frame onto and put like car batteries in. But what's really amazing about this series is that while we do have amazing engineers that have just designed these cars down to a T to make them these crazy little racing machines, but you don't have to do that. You can just like replace the wheels and like people have built these things out of 2x4s and just like slapped a body on it. And it's just fun. What helps promote that is there is a feature that has always been a huge part of the series called Moxie. Moxie is basically crowd popularity. We have a big sign with electronic buttons and there is a button for every team and it is carried around during every single race and the crowd votes on their favorite cars. Sometimes that's the fastest car. Sometimes it's the car of the like home team, wherever that race is. A lot of times it's which one is like the coolest or the funniest looking. So Oscar Mayer is big here in Wisconsin. And a few years ago, the Milwaukee Makerspace made like from scratch a fiberglass Wienermobile that they rode atop with like a bicycle handlebar sticking out the top. It was like a mid-pack car. It would always do like fifth or sixth, but man, they just like rocked out the Moxie points. So they won that year because they did okay in race points, but man, they just like took it home with all of the Moxie. Last year was an actual fast car, but it was, it looked like Gary the Snail from SpongeBob and the eyeballs like were pool noodles with like big styrofoam eyes at the top and the eye stalks like wobbled while he was racing. Hilarious. Amazing. But yeah, like they don't have to be super engineered. So like it's super fun. Everyone is kind of on everyone's team. Like everyone has their teams, but I don't think I've ever seen a race where like a team has had a problem that they couldn't take care of themselves and like didn't immediately get help from other teams. You know, like we've had people running around like, who's got an air compressor? Who's got a welder? Because yes, these cars have like snapped in half in the middle of a race. Somewhere there's video of me pulling into my pit, throwing off my racing helmet, I think throwing on a welding helmet, welding my steering column, swapping back helmets, jumping like as my team is pushing my car back out into pit lane and like jumping on it and racing again.
That's so great.
Because yeah, I was my team's welder.
I love that. Okay, so Karen, let's circle back to kids. You also founded the Steamboat Workshops for Young People. So tell my audience a little bit about this program and what was your motivation behind creating these workshops?
So Steamboat Workshops is a series of hands-on STEAM-based workshops, primarily for kids, but I also did them for adults and just kind of all ages. I did them through the public libraries, and also we have a local like city system called MSCR. It's like the Madison School and Community Recreation, I think is what it stands for. So like the Civic Center kind of stuff. I have always wanted to be a teacher. And as I have developed as an adult, realized that being in a traditional classroom environment is not for me. For one, I am very much not a morning person. But so I just have always been driven to teach people pretty much everything that I do. My show, my hackerspace, Steamboat, even Power Wheels, honestly, has been about teaching other people and exposing people to making stuff with their hands. I went to schools that didn't have a lot of, like, we didn't do a lot of hands-on stuff. We didn't do the experiments. I never made like a potato battery or like a radio or anything like that. A lot of those simple experiments that a lot of people do in school, I never did. And in my learning about how to make things and about all of the STEM subjects, it has been invaluable to me to have physical hands-on experiences that help me understand how and why those things work. So I had moved to Madison and didn't have a job. And I would never describe myself as an entrepreneur, but I keep starting things. So maybe I am. It's just never about money. So I started these series of workshops and contacted a bunch of local organizations and just did a lot of research on the internet trying to figure out things and was just trying to find ways to get kids interested about, you know, STEM topics. And they always had to be building something or making something or making an experiment, something physically with their hands was really important to me.
All right. Well, we're talking about women because we're celebrating women in engineering. So let's talk specifically about the maker movement. Now, you've been in the maker movement for a long time now. Do you think the role of women in the maker movement is evolving? And how do you encourage women in engineering or electronics design to get involved specifically with the Element 14 community?
I feel like since the Me Too movement happens, a lot more people are just aware of the sexism and unconscious bias that exists everywhere, and especially in the STEM industries. And people are starting to actually get called out for it, and they're recognizing it. And that's really important. So I think it's starting to change, yes. I think because of that, a lot more, and I, to some degree, it's a bit cringy, but it's also kind of amazing. It's like trendy to do these big promotional, like for women things, but it's really helping. I think it was last summer. Oh, don't ask me about timelines. Element 14 did like a hashtag badass women in engineering or whatever it was contest, because we had our shows where, you know, we have three shows that come out on Wednesdays. There are two others than mine that alternate. And then there's the big Friday builds that are similar to what Ben Heck used to do. But I was like the only woman we had. And I was way too bogged down teaching myself something new every month and designing circuits that I only kind of understood what was going on because I was still learning it while I was making it. So I didn't really have time to do like big Friday builds, even though I might have wanted to. So they're like, well, we need to not put all of our weight on Karen's shoulders. So let's maybe see if we can get some other women. So they did this contest and it's amazing. You know, we've got a handful more that do our Friday shows. They're all wonderful people. And just, I'm always just like, wow, that's so cool, this thing that you made. And I'm so glad that you like work with us now and you get to make videos and we get to see it. It's so cool. I think we've still got a long way to go. There's clearly not gender equality in a lot of these fields, but we're making headway. And so that's good. Progress is progress, right?
Absolutely. All right, Karen, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, we've been in lockdown for, it seems, forever these days. If you could have one food right now, it doesn't matter if the restaurant is closed, you have to go to another country, heck, you need a passport to get there, what would you have?
I have two answers, sort of, but one is like the meal and then one is dessert. I would say sushi. Alaska rolls are my favorite. Give me that sweet, sweet raw salmon with some little avocado in there. Delicious. And then when I was like 14 or 15, I got to go to Italy and I spent about a week in Rome for World Youth Day. And despite having, you know, spent an entire week touring this amazing historical city and having been to Europe for the first time ever, I came back and all I could talk about was how delicious the gelato was. So I am going to say real Italian gelato.
That is a good answer. And no one has said that answer yet on Fish Fry. So
the sea salt caramel, it's always the best. It's always the best. There is one place
delicious.
In America that's pretty darn close. I think it's called Pechugo. I think that's how it's pronounced. I have found one in Chicago before. And there was one at one point in the Mall of America. If you can find a Pechugo, you can get your hands on some quality American gelato.
That sounds excellent. Well, Karen, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
So if you want any further information about all the cool stuff Karen has created or more information about the Element 14 community, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular long-running Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, Apple Podcasts, or just about anywhere you get your podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on that podcasting platform of your choice. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or if you just want to chat, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For June 23rd, 2021, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.